Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. As we continue to talk about this and really kind of close out this theme of study to show thyself approved unto God, we're going to be continuing to talk about the four things that Timothy is told by Paul to do in verse 5. And so we're going to work through that today once again. And then, of course, we have a couple of more Sundays before the Christmas actual holiday gets here. And so it's going to work out just right. And then I have a real good charge for you, if you will, ready for the New Year's, and looking forward to that. And then the first Sunday of January, I'll be introducing our new theme. And so I think you'll enjoy that. It's going to be a fun one, I think. And so we'll see about that. I think God has made that clear for me. And so we're looking forward to all those things. But if you stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, 2 Timothy 4, we're going to read together these first five verses out loud. We'll begin together in verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's begin together in verse 1, reading through verse 5. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Here we are in again in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And you understand that as Timothy is being encouraged here and charged, if you will, to accomplish this task, may I say to each and every one of us that we all are workmen before the Lord. And if you're born again, if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you understand that gift of eternal life is what gets you to heaven. And by the way, it's something you can know. So if you don't know that today can be the day of salvation for you. You say, Pastor, I've been religious. I've been in church. I've called myself a Christian, but there's never been a time where I've understood I'm a sinner, where I've understood my need of salvation, and I've come to Christ asking Him to forgive me of my sins, come into my heart, become my Savior. I've maybe heard those things, but I've never done that. Today can be the day of salvation for you. There has to be a time where not only do you have a physical birth, you must have a spiritual birth. I remember that there was a time in my life as a young boy that I was asked the question, Eric, have you asked Jesus Christ to become your Savior? And the answer at that time was no. I believed that Jesus was the Savior. I believed all the Bible stories were true. I was raised in a Christian home. I went to church, if you will, all of those things. But at that time, I had not accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. So that day, I remember there was I don't even remember what little booklet or track that was, but I was walked through that. I believed those things. I knelt down by my bed there, and kind of down the hallway on Sakarsi Drive there, Mom and Dad, I think it was. My room was the back one to the, what direction would that have been? West? I think, yeah, the west bedroom back there, and knelt down and prayed, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so if you don't have a time that you've been born again, you need a time, okay? How many of you like to celebrate birthdays? Yeah, all the older people didn't raise their hand, okay? Quick, older people, raise your hand, then I won't call you old. Okay, no. You like to celebrate birthdays, and so do we, but, you know, the thing is we have a spiritual birthday. You've heard the phrase before, you know, if you're born once, you die twice. Get it? If you have a physical birth, you'll have a physical death and a spiritual death. But if you're born twice, if you have a physical birth and a spiritual birth, you only die once. Okay? And so that's a truth. And so if you have not been saved, I plead with you today to be saved. Secondly, if you are saved, let me plead with you to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Study the Word of God. Study the things of God. And do it in a sense to perform it. You see, it's one thing to know, but it's another thing to do. Remember that James said, faith without works is dead, being alone. Folks, listen to me. We need to have an alive faith, not a dead faith. And an alive faith knows, says, and does that faith. And so, as I encourage you this week, and then next week, which is the 14th, and then we have the 21st, I'm glad we're on sevens. Sevens are easy, right? so we got, and the 28th at the end of the month. So far, I try to plan ahead, and let me give you a little picture into my life. I want you to realize that I've got about, I want to be conservative here, at least 15 messages on the burner. So I've got a big stove, okay? A message stove. And I write down little thoughts, and I have little things. Sometimes they're just floating around in my head, which there's a lot of stuff in there floating around. But so as far as I know, as the Lord has led me to understand, we're going to do endure today. We're going to do work next week, which is the 14th, right? And we're going to do last one. Let me get it here, is entirely accomplished. I had to manufacture that one to stay within the wee-wee outline, okay? W-E-W-E, okay? So that's fun. Brother Minter knows about that. Alliteration is fun, okay? It's just a way to help remember things. But we have watch, endure, work, and entirely accomplish. And by the way, that's a good one, that entirely accomplish. That's what God wants for us as a complete workman, okay? Make full proof of thy ministry. And so, folks, we want to make full proof of what we're doing as a Christian. And so we'll talk about that on the 21st, Lord willing. And then, of course, Christmas Eve will be a Christmas message and such and so forth. And the 28th, I plan on just kind of wrapping up the whole year and encouraging you, as Paul encouraged Timothy, about his own life. And then on the 31st, I'm going to actually, that Wednesday night, we're going to introduce the new theme as we enter into the new year. And then we'll hit the ground running on that first Sunday of January. So that's what's coming ahead. I just wanted to give you a little window there of work there. But take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy 2. So just flip back a couple of pages. And I want you to look at how serious Paul was about this, because he didn't just tell Timothy to endure the afflictions here in chapter 4, but he told him that earlier in this letter. So look at verse 1 in verse 1 of chapter 2. Paul told Timothy, "To thou therefore, my son, be strong. Be strong in the Lord." Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So he's telling Timothy to be strong. So if you think of a workman, right? A skillful artificer. Do you think of someone who has the strength and ability to accomplish the work? And by the way, is that reasonable? All right? So when someone does not have the strength or ability to finish the work, they do what? They retire, right? They're not able to accomplish that work any longer. Now, that's not true in our day and age today, because folks do early retirement and things like that. Brother Camp, I'm sure you're still more than able and physically able. You may not be mentally, you know, wanting to finish the work, because, you know, you've had enough. But you know, Brother Camp could go back out tomorrow and do what he used to do. I'm sure you couldn't? Oh, come on. I'm giving you credit here. I think you could. Okay, he could do it. Now, I know Brother Losey could, right? You could pick up where you left off. Brother and Mrs. Hollingshead, you probably could go into a classroom and do a little teaching still, right? Yeah, Brother Hollingshead. Yeah, I think he could, all right? So you understand some things, not that way, but, you know, we have to understand that we need to be what we can be for Christ. And there's a strength that we're supposed to have in Christ Jesus. And in the grace that God has given to us. So he says, look at verse 3. So he says, thou therefore though. So he says back to Timothy, he says, okay, Timothy, you need to teach others also and teach faithful men so that they can be passed on. But then he goes back to Timothy. He says, you, Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So this thing, endure, it's mentioned really in the New Testament here 4 times. And we need to understand that this particular Greek word does mean to undergo hardships. But it has the idea of doing it patiently, with patience. So, how many of you can endure things, but you do it either because you have to, or because you let somebody know by your body language or your words that you don't like it. You know, there's a grudge there. There's a negative thing, you know, and you'll stand in the gap and make up the hedge, but you don't like being there, you know. That's not the essence of this word. The essence of this word is, by the way, as a good soldier, if you will, does it out of duty and out of love, but there's a sense to it. Okay? There's that sense of patience. There's that sense of grace. There's that sense of mercy. There's that sense of love and loving kindness. All these things, which, by the way, have already been mentioned to Timothy of how to carry himself. So not only do we endure afflictions, whatever afflictions come our way, whatever hardness comes our way, either from the outside world or from our own mistakes, if you want to call them that, or choices, or sins, or whether they come from God as divers temptations and trials, whatever it might be, because, by the way, those are the 3 categories we can experience hardships. Can we experience affliction, persecutions, hardships from the world? Yes, we can. Can we experience difficulties and punishments or judgments or chastisement from the Lord for our wrongdoing? Yes, we can. Can we experience things like Job experienced that have to do with God's purpose in our lives that are afflictions and hardships? Yes, we can. But the point is, we need to do it with the grace of God. So Timothy is told to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And as we are a good soldier of Jesus Christ, I want you to picture it this way. We are going through life, if you will, we can go through life, hand in hand with the Lord. Right? Don't you love the hymn? And he walks with me and he talks with me. Right? Beautiful hymn, lovely hymn. That gives the sentiment that God is with us in these storms. You know, that's why I think God in the flesh, got upset with the disciples in the boat. They run back to him and it's, you know, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They're upset. They're frustrated. Are they going through, is this storm an affliction? Yeah.
How are they doing? Not so good. You know, I just can't help but think the look on Lord's face, kind of like, really, guys? I'm right here. You know, I that might be in the Greek. I'm not sure. But it gives that sense. Where's your faith? And then he just stands up and says, peace be still. Done. It's like, come on, fellas. So he says, we're supposed to endure them as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So if we're a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is a good general, right? Where's he going to be? Right there with us on the battlefield, folks. And as we go through these afflictions, whatever they may be, if we're out in the world and the world is accusing us and persecuting us, Jesus tells us, hey, don't worry about it. They hate me, so they're going to hate you. He's right there with us, right? And by the way, as a father, he's going to chasten his children. So again, he's right there with us. And if you will, even though Job felt that God wasn't close to him, God was, right? Even when those things come and we don't know why they're in our life, folks, he's still right there. And his grace is sufficient. Paul was told that, right? And folks, he's not going to put us through any affliction or hardship or chastisement that we cannot bear. So we have to keep these things in mind. Because that's going to be the source of our strength, the grace of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul is telling Timothy, look at verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who he hath chosen him to be a soldier. So, folks, we can endure the afflictions of this world if we do not tangle ourselves up in the world. You say, well, how do I not do that, Pastor? Well, John tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So, Paul tells us in Romans that we're supposed to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Because if we fulfill the lust of the flesh, it's going to be destruction and death. If we fulfill the things of the Spirit, it's going to be life and peace. So we don't have to be in bondage to the world. If you will, Jesus Christ has set us free. So we can freely work as a workman, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, as long as we don't entangle ourselves back up in the world. As long as we don't go back to the world and say, here, put them back on. And folks, too many Christians do that. Well, we're supposed to say no to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those things are in the world. They're not of God. But yet we go back and we tangle ourselves back up in the world. Folks, how can that be labeled as endure afflictions? We're not enduring, we're giving in. We are not, if you will, obeying what the Scripture says we're supposed to do. So you understand that if we're going to be successful as a workman, we must avoid the entanglement and the bondage of this world. We can go out into the world and witness and be a testimony and serve God without being of the world. Because we're sojourners. And guess what? When you walk out in the world, you're going to get a little dirty. And all you got to do is confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We got to be careful to maintain fellowship with our great commander, Jesus Christ, with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with our Heavenly Father, as good children. Look at verse 5. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. So how do we receive those crowns of righteousness and all those? We talked about the different crowns before, right? How do we receive those? By doing it according to God's word. Holy, righteous, clean, pure. All these, we're supposed to be this kind of people. And God wants us to achieve success. Go over to James chapter 5. I alluded to this a little bit before, but we'll get to it here again. Afflictions are going to come. All right? We're told that if we're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, we shall suffer persecution. We're going to encounter hardships. Storms are going to come up in any of those three categories, folks. I can't tell you which one your storm is. Because you know. You know if it's persecution from the world. You know if it's chastisement for something you've done. And you probably know and have a good idea. Or it might be in the category of a trial or a difficulty that God allows in your life for a particular purpose. I don't know all the time those things. Okay? I can only guess. Just like the rest of us. But you should know. And God will reveal that to you. I would say most of the time. But look at verse 13. James is telling people this here in the scriptures. He says this in verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him do what? Pray. Folks, if you want to endure afflictions, first of all, avoid the world, right? Don't get entangled with the world. But secondly, pray. That when afflictions come in your life, whether it's from the world, pray. Right? If they're persecuting you, pray. When Paul and Silas were thrown into jail, unwarranted, right? They shouldn't have been thrown in jail. What did they do? They started to complain. Right? They went out and hired a lawyer and set up a case so that he could get out of the punishment. No, what did they do? They went into the inner prison and they prayed and sang. So you can sing and pray. Okay, that works. But they prayed. And what did God do? He set them free from their afflictions. Okay, so you understand, did they endure? Yes. Was it hard? Yes. Was it difficult? Was it unpleasant? Absolutely. But they endured. And by the way, did they do it with a patience and a godly spirit? Oh yes, they did. So much so that the jailer sprang in and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's amazing. Hey, by the way, could Paul and Silas have been justified by allowing that guard, or that jailer, that chief jailer there, to go ahead and kill himself? I mean, by our world's definition, would they have been justified in letting him do that? But because they were workmen, skillful artificers, good soldiers, they said, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." Because they cared about that man, even though he had been the tool to wrongly imprison them. And by the way, he probably wasn't nice to them. But yet they still prayed, and they still sang, and they still wanted him to be saved. And they didn't want him to take his own life and go to hell. They wanted him to become part of the family of God. They had that spirit about them in enduring the hardships, enduring the afflictions. And folks, I'm just trying to encourage all of us. We're all going to go through awful things, I'm sure, in our lives to some degree. But you can do it with grace, and you can do it with love, and you can do it with loving kindnesses and mercy and with the Spirit of Christ. That's what God wants for us as we endure afflictions.
I'm still reading here. Oh, yeah. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Here it is. Let him sing psalms. So, now, remember, James is writing this, but all the apostles believed these things. They were all taught this way because they were taught from Christ. Remember what John said, the things that we've handled, right? Seen and heard, handled the word of life. These are evidences in their lives. Paul knew of these things. James knew of these things. John knew of these things. These men preached it. They taught it. They lived it. He said, hey, if you're afflicted, pray. If you're merry, sing psalms. So, back to Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. You understand that by singing and by praying, they were living enduring afflictions. They were living it. And guess what? They were doing it happily. They were merry. They weren't upset about it. They counted it a privilege to serve God and to go through this hardship. They were singing. You know what? I think that's what really affected the jailer. Not only their care for his life, but that these guys were in the inner prison, and he probably knew that they were accused wrongfully. And he thought probably to himself very quickly, they've got something that I want. This relationship, this God, this salvation, I need this. And he blows in and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So you understand that this is what Timothy is being encouraged to be, to do, to watch in all things and to endure afflictions. Folks, why? Why should we sing? Why should we pray? Why should we avoid the entanglements of this world? Why should we do all this? So that they can see Jesus in our lives. Let's read on. He says this, and the prayer of faith, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. I missed 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. So you see, that there's a motive there. You ought to be caring enough about lost souls to endure afflictions, to go through them in the strength of the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Go over to James chapter 1, just a few chapters back. Listen to this. My brethren, verse 2, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So folks, you understand that as we endure afflictions, we are perfected in Christ. We are made complete. We become what God wants us to become. When we stay untangled from the world, when we accept, and we're going to talk about this one in just a moment, chastisement from God for our wrongdoing. And as we also accept the fiery trials and the diverse temptations that God sends into our lives for His purpose, we become the workmen that God wants us to be. And it shines a gospel light to others around us. And guess what? The same is true if we don't, then that light doesn't shine.
If we become entangled with the world, what does it tell people? That what we have is not real. That what we have has no power, has no difference. Because what do they see? They see another person just like them. And what do we become? A hypocrite. Right? Because then it's do what I say, not what I do. Over here, when we do not take the chastisement of God, our Heavenly Father, well, what does that tell others? That we don't have a fear of God. That we don't have a respect for God. That we don't have a love for God. And over here, on this side, if God chooses to send something in our life that's meant for our good, even though it seems bad, and we don't receive it well, what does that tell people? That we don't trust God. That we don't have faith in God. Right? That God is terrible. Why would God do such a thing to a good person? You ever heard that before? Folks, what does that tell people? So to endure afflictions is important in the work of a workman. We must watch in all things. We need to look around and be careful, be sober and vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, he's out there. And you've got to watch everything. But you also must endure. Not just grin and bear it, if you will. And not just stand and shudder and shake and... but do it with patience. That patience might have her perfect work. That you can be complete and entire and wanting nothing. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, and driven with the wind and tossed. For let not man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Isn't that amazing? What are we supposed to do? Endure. We're supposed to do it. And by the way, all four times that this word pops up in the New Testament, it is with the essence of patience. Of handling it well. Because the afflictions are going to come. Folks, the world's going to hate you because it hates the Lord. Your father is going to punish you in wrongdoing because he's a good father. You understand that? He's a loving father. He's a responsible father. He's a righteous father. He's a holy father. And then our great God is going to put things in our life that are going to bolster us and build us and prove us in our lives. That's his job. That's what it's going to glorify God. So we ought to count it all joy. We ought to endure it patiently. We ought to be able to undergo these hardships and survive. Because he's not out to destroy you. The world wants to destroy you. But he's given us victory over the world. It's our faith. Hey, God wants to draw us closer to him and conform us to the image of his son. So he's going to punish us when we're wrong. And he's going to send trials and even fiery trials and temptations and difficulties in our lives because he wants to mold us and shape us and perfect us in our lives. Because he loves us. And he wants us to succeed. So what do we need to do? Endure. Endure afflictions. endure hardships, endure the chastening hand of the Lord. Let me finish here. In Matthew 10, Jesus said this, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Now I want you to realize that word saved is not the salvation saved, but the delivered saved. Okay? I just want you to understand the definition there. So you're going to be, if you're faithful, you'll be delivered. Now, let me just tell you something. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you understand that sometimes deliverance was eternity. And that's okay. Everybody understand? All right? It's okay to give your life for the cause of Christ. That's not a bad thing. So don't view it as a bad thing. Okay? So, and by the way, is that deliverance? Yes, it is. Okay? So, we have that. And it says, "But when they persecute you in the city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household?" So what's he telling them? They hate me, so they're going to hate you. They persecute me, so they're going to persecute you. They're going to call me evil. By the way, did they call Jesus Beelzebub? Yes, they did. So what do you think they're going to call the disciples? The same or worse? It's going to happen. Endure, he says. Endure, and you'll be delivered. There's 1 Peter 2. He says this, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your master with all fear, not only to the good and to the gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if and when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." So as we wrap this up, I'm going to read to you two more passages of scripture, but I hope you understand that in the world, the things of the world, we should be not entangled. We should be unencumbered, right? We should not be bound again, enter into bondage again, so that we can endure the afflictions, the chastisements, which I'm going to read about before we close today, and the things that God puts in our lives, we should endure patiently, graciously, joyfully, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, because God wants us to succeed as a workman, complete, perfected in Christ Jesus. So Proverbs 3 says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." So guess what? What do you suppose the opposite of despising the chastening of the Lord is? Enduring the chastening of the Lord. Because you're going through that hardship. By the way, is punishment hard? Yeah. I teach as a teacher of teachers. I teach that the pain of the punishment must exceed the pleasure of the crime. Because if it doesn't, they're going to do it again. Right? So it has to. And by the way, I mean, I'm not saying that when you're being punished of God, you say, yippee, cheer, hooray, hooray. You know, no. But it's the attitude that you endure it patiently. And understanding, hey, I deserve this, so thank you, God, for punishing me. One of our prayers for our children always is this: God, would you allow them to get caught? Hey, our kids are gonna do wrong things. And you know what? I wish we could be better parents, but we're probably just human parents like everybody else is. Can I tell you something? I don't see everything. And can I tell you something? I'm sure that somewhere in the multitude of children that we have, some of them have gotten away with stuff. And mom and dad, I got away with stuff. Now they're, yeah, we know. Yeah, they know. And I love, you know, whatever I would get punished wrongfully, you know, mom and dad would just say, well, this is for the ones that you didn't get, you know, which by the way, that's fine. Cause I, you know what? I probably got away with way more than I got done wrongfully. But can I just say to us folks, it's our attitude. So when Paul tells Timothy to watch in all things, he's telling him to be observant, to be aware. But then when he says endure afflictions, he's telling him, get your attitude right. Get your spirit right. Go through the hardships, whatever category they may be in, patiently. One last thing. In Hebrews 12, the Bible says this, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord." Where do you hear that before? Proverbs, right? Okay, it's almost identical. He says, and for whom the Lord loveth... Oh, I'm sorry. Let me continue. I missed a line. "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." So we just read before, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine, right? "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be not without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." So you understand that God's going to chasten his children. And we need to endure it patiently. So, ladies and gentlemen, today I just want you to consider this. Endure afflictions. Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. We're going to experience afflictions. But how we go through them will show what kind of workmen we are. Approved unto God or not approved.